live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Hello and welcome to We Need to Talk About Ghosts. You're going to spot something different here. And the thing that you're spotting that's different is I am outside. Yes, like a feral animal, like a wild coyote. I am outside because I am testing the new audio portable recording equipment. Yes, and how that works is, well, it's obvious how that works, isn't it? But I've got a lapel mic on, yeah, a little clippy microphone that is literally on the lapel of my suit jacket, because I'm technically in work as well. So yeah, you know how lapel mics work, but it makes me feel like a BBC news reporter. I might go over to someone and go, excuse me, can you tell me your opinions on Brexit and why you think it's a terrible idea? But they could also then assume that I have a weighted argument, which I do, because Brexit's full of bollocks. Anyway, I've managed to find somewhere relatively low key to do this in town, because I've tried 3 or 4 different locations, and you know what? People just follow you. It's fucking bizarre. It's hard to find some quiet space in the Liverpool city centre. Literally, because people are, to be fair, they're probably just going about their own business, you know, getting from A to B, and happen to be behind me, but you can't just burst into, hello, welcome to Talk About Ghosts. Today we're going to talk about poltergeist, which is the plural for poltergeists, because people will think you're a lunatic. You can get away with it a bit, because it looks like you're just talking to someone on your phone, on your hands-free, yeah, because it's the 80s. But when you start saying things like, if you've got a ghost story, send it in to talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com, then it's pretty evident you're not just on your phone. But by the way, if you do have a ghost story, do send it in to talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com, and I'll read it out. We've had a good few emails in this week, and do you remember Maria from last week? And she sent us in the story about the student accommodation, where they blocked off a room the landlord reckoned so that they didn't have to, sorry, that they couldn't have people staying over rent-free. But in reality, I believe it's because Satan himself was taking up residence there. Well, she's been back in touch with yet another update on said spooky student accommodation. So that'll be good to look forward to, says I. I do hope this audio quality is okay. Let me know, because this will be the one that I'll be using for the haunted locations at Halloween. Obviously, hopefully it won't be as windy as this, because it's a little bit windy. But my lapel mic, yes, a lapel mic, does have a casing on it to shield it. So it shouldn't be too bad. Fingers crossed. Obviously, there's going to be a few things omitted from this episode, with it being a portable one. One, I'm not going to be able to sing any Patreon's names, because I would be arrested and thrown in a padded cell. So if you have donated to the Patreon, as I know some of you have, you can have your lovely names sang out next week. Can't do it this week for obvious reasons, namely sanity and needing to remain sane. That said, I've just realised I could be speaking rather loud and someone sat on a bench about 20 feet away looking at me as in to say, that guy needs locking up. So if I am carted away mid-recording, then you'll know what's happened. Please tell the police. Oh, then again, this won't get out, will it? Because I'll be in a cell. So yeah, there'll be no Patreon names sang out this week. There might not be any German midpoints either, because where the devil am I going to get German audio dance music from in a field? I don't know. I mean, but then again, I could just ad-lib. Maybe I will ad-lib. Maybe I'll do a German rap. With a bit of luck, my boss will walk past, see me, and actually go to HR and say, this guy needs time off. I've just caught him talking to a blade of grass for 30 minutes non-stop. And in terms of length, I do think that this one's going to have to be around 30 minutes, unlike the others that have eloped into longer times, solely because, I'm stood up outside in a field chatting to a tree. Technically, that's what it looks like. Although we know I'm chatting to you guys. So the other good thing about this, not in terms of health or interest, but listen to this. There we go. No vapes, an actual cigarette on the show. What? This is the first time in the history of We Need to Talk About Ghosts I've been able to smoke on set, as it were. Not that you need to know that, I'm just sitting chilling in a field smoking a cigarette, yes. What a good audio content piece this makes, I don't think. Anyway, without further ado, let's get to some spooky stories. Okay, so like I've just mentioned, it's starting to rain. I did not expect this. Well, I kind of did. I've brought an umbrella for this very eventuality. Let me just put my umbrella up. How weird is it? Well, you wouldn't know, but let me tell you, this feels very weird doing a podcast in the rain. But I'm excited by it. Not, like, sexually. Shut up, Kevin, and move on. Anyway, so Maria's been back in touch, and her email goes thus. Oh my God, my sister, in brackets Zoe, just reminded me of another scary night at my house in university. I had completely forgotten about it, slash blocked it out of my mind. My sister and her friend visited me in university. In brackets, they went to see a Craig David concert. Yes, this was the early noughties. They came back to my house and were sleeping on the two sofas in the living room. Next to the blocked up room were the noises from the last story. You know what's coming, she says, and I'll be honest, I don't, so let's read on. I hadn't told my sister about my scary encounter, mainly because I was trying not to believe it myself. I'll set the picture of our house. Please do, Maria. I think we would all appreciate that. I think we can all agree. Let's see. She says, I'll set the picture of the house. Typical terrace street, Braemar Road in Fallowfield. On the ground floor entrance hall, the first room to the left was a living room. This was being used as a bedroom by my friend Lorna. Next to that, a small bathroom with no window. Then the boarded up room, which had a window that looked out onto the yard, but this had bars and was also boarded up. Then it had a small living room, which was extended with a tiny kitchen. Okay, have we all got that? Have we all got that picture? I think we have. I think that's spectacular. Zoe and her friend were going to sleep on the two sofas in the living room next to the kitchen. Zoe said they both had their eyes closed but weren't asleep when they heard someone come out of the next room to the living room. They thought this was Lorna's room, but that was at the front. They both said the next morning the person came out of the room and watched them for a bit whilst they slept, in inverted speech marks. Then went to the kitchen, walked back, stopping again, and then back into the room and closed the door behind them. They obviously thought it was strange that one of my housemates was just staring at them asleep. And that's me and Natalie, if the next room where Lorna was okay, as she wasn't up yet. We then had to break it to them that Lorna was away. Her dad was poorly in London. There was only me, Natalie and Cheryl in the house, but we slept upstairs and no one had come down in the night. And it must have been the same being that me and Natalie had felt watching us a few nights previously. How did I forget that, Kev? Scary. Ghost emoticon. And yes, it is scary. It's bloody terrifying, in fact. Now, Maria, I think I might have emailed you this and asked, but if not, I will ask you verbally over the podcast. Can you get in touch with this landlord fella? Because I would love to take this lapel mic, my BBC lapel mic, and interview him, stay in the house, go in the boarded up room, raise the dead, not necrophilia, bloody hell, that's sleeping with the dead. I don't mean that. I mean, what's the other one? Where you conjure the dead? It evades me now, but it's a similar word to necrophilia, but it doesn't mean sleeping with the dead. Jesus, you tell you what, it's a good job that I'm in a field on my own. They'd be like, fellow over there are talking about shagging the dead. Need to get rid of him. Pretty sharpish. Put him in a locked up cell. Okay, so next on the show, the outdoor show, El Fresco show. Wee, wee, wee. We're going to have a bit of a unique feature in terms of the show. We've actually had somebody send in an MP3 of a story that they've experienced themselves. And this is from Carl. I can't speak. It's because I'm outside. I've left my voice box at home, in the indoors, in the safety of the house. And this is from Colin Miles. And Miles, his name's not Miles, his name's Colin. And Colin says, hello, Kevin, my name's Colin Miles. I'm a fan for sure, and want to share with you a bit of my life experience with our ghostly friends. You know, for the creepy Halloween times coming up, I recorded this for Anything Ghosts Halloween show a couple of years ago. I have a wonderful sleep paralysis story that I'll share when I get a chance to. It's horrifying and hilarious. And he's from New Orleans. He goes on to say, do come visit New Orleans if you ever get a chance to. It's not as haunty as one would hope for, but the spirits are all over the place and easily felt in certain areas. You're doing a wonderful job. Thanks, Colin. He then sent another email to say, New Orleans being haunty. A friend and I had someone whistle a little tune between us and the wall inside a French Quarter bakery this morning. No space could have fitted another human, and no living soul was within 10 feet of us, but the tune was right next to us. So there we go, Colin Miles there, sending us an as-it-happened account of a whistling ghostie. So without further ado, shall we hear Colin's recorded MP3 story? I think we should. Oh, by the way, Anything Ghost's good. I think it's Lex Wall who does that. If you're into your spooky podcast, you probably already know about it, but check him out. I do like a bit of Lex now and again. He's got a spooky little piano bit at the beginning, like ding, 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 ding. And he's like, hi, I'm Lex Wall. Let's talk about spooky ghosts. And it's really good. I'm not mocking him. I think he's fucking great. Anyway, that's Colin's story.
I was 5 years old when my family moved into a simple, ivy-covered house outside of Little Rock, Arkansas. The house was built in the 60s and had nothing about it that would get it cast as a haunted house and even the lamest of ghost stories. But the land around the house has a long history due to the road being one of the oldest routes through the state. I suspect it is the history of the land that gave me my story. I can clearly recall the sunny morning in the room I shared with my brother. As I was blinking my eyes awake, I looked across the room to the bright window. That's when I saw a woman sitting cross-legged on the edge of my brother's bed. At first it seemed awkward that she was facing the wall, and then it registered that her body was like still smoke in the sunlight. She was completely nude, and she was headless. Of course, I pulled the covers over my head to hide from the sight, and after a few minutes of trying to keep my frantic breath quiet, I looked again to find her gone. My mother said she almost fainted when she heard me telling my brother I'd just seen a headless woman sitting on his bed. Not just because this is a scary thing to hear a child say, but because just the week before my father had seen the headless woman, this time clothed, glide out of their bathroom to lean over my mother, then stand up and vanish. This started a conversation about ghosts and hauntings in my family, where I found out about my grandmother seeing spirits as a young girl, and a family friends having interactions with ghosts. And it started a lifelong interest in the supernatural for me. I began to read everything I could about ghosts and haunted places, but reading really doesn't touch the reality of seeing. Like the Saturday morning, I woke up early and took my pillow and blanket into the den to watch cartoons before anyone else got up. I had only 1 foot on the carpet of our TV room when I was shocked still by the sight of the woman, again sitting cross-legged, again nude and headless, in the middle of the room. I was instantly through the door with the lights on, my blood pounding in my ears, and the hopes that she would not come through the door after me. After a while, when I could, I looked into the room to find it empty and the sun coming up. That was the last time I saw the apparition, but not the last of our interactions. And I can't recall the number of times as I entered and went through my teens that a light would flicker back on after I had turned it off, or the TV would come back on as I was leaving the room. I never felt any malice from her, and it was a pretty gentle haunting. My father recently recalled seeing a hanging plant bouncing by itself in an empty room. Spooky, but not scary. At least not until the night of my 15th birthday. I had 3 friends stay over to celebrate. We had set up the tent in the backyard so that we could stay up and be loud without disturbing my family, but there was a pressure in the air that night and a low fog coming up from the creeks nearby. And though they weren't a fixture of my stretch of the highway, we could hear a herd of cattle lowing through the quiet country night. This atmosphere outside stirred my friends up a little, and so we decided to go into the den to watch TV until we fell asleep. But that never happened. Dean, Pat, Bobby, and I were sitting in a close circle, talking out our teen ideas with the TV murmuring behind me when I saw Dean and Bobby jump in unison. Dean hoarsely whispered, "Dude, did you hear that?" And Bobby replied, "Shut up. Just shut the F up. You didn't hear nothing." Pat and I started excitedly asking what they had heard because we had heard nothing at all. And they said that they had heard a girl say my name. Of course, sounding like the little girl from Poltergeist. We thought it might be my sister, so I went to check, but she was fast asleep. And so we sat and talked about anything else we could think of to distract us from the scare and ease the tension. But then somewhere in our ramblings, one or two of them, I can't remember, heard a crying that turned to laughter. And that's when I became frightened. Lights turning on and seeing quiet figures in the middle of the room, even headless ones, was one thing. But crying and laughing in the middle of the night was quite another. We didn't know what to do but to stay put and talk a lot. Eventually, Pat and I had to use the bathroom, of course. And so it being my house, my ghost, I had to go first to make sure the coast was clear, even though I wasn't feeling all that brave. After making it to the bathroom without incident, I headed back to the den. I saw Pat waiting in the dining room, and as soon as I saw him, I saw him jump like a rabbit, up and sideways through the door into the den. When I got in there, he was telling my friends about how he had heard a gasp, looked over, and saw in the coat rack mirror a person in a Civil War uniform standing next to him, who was headless. None of us slept or moved that night until we got up to call a friend's father to come get him at 5 a.m, and I don't recall any of them staying over after that. And the rest of my teen years passed, as I've told, with flickering lights and TVs coming back on and me wondering why she called my name, but I didn't hear her.
How'd you like that for a tale, eh? Sent in, recorded himself. Now, if you would like to send in a pre-recorded story like that, by all means do. Send it to me via email, of course, as an MP3 or a WAV or whatever the kids are saying you record things as. And send it to, of course, talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com. And I will play it out on the show. Doesn't have to be me reading it out all the time, as Colin just proved there, you know. Don't you know? But again, if you do want to just send in your stories that you've written down on an email, then send them to talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com. Or again, get us on the Twitter @talkaboutghosts. Okay, let's see if we can have a midpoint. I don't know whether I'd get away with doing a German rap in the city centre or whether I'd be battered by German tourists. But let's give it a go. It's midpoint time. Huzzah! Who the naughty boy? Dum dum dum. Dum. Who the naughty boy in the field? Dum. Who the naughty German boy? Yeah, it's Kevin. Well, let's give it a few seconds to see if anyone's running towards me with a knife or a fist. No, I think I got away with that scot-free. So it is the midpoint. As I said earlier, well, not earlier, as I said on last week's show, this is a pre-recorded episode because this weekend, me and Rebecca are going out to look at a few haunted locationies, and we've also got a musical fireworks event that we're going to in Southport, which is a nice little coastal seaside town, mainly for pensioners, but we do love ourselves some good pensioner company. And it's great. It's like, you know, the, well, it is what it says on the tin, really. It's set, they set fireworks off to music, so it'll be like ba da da da. No, it won't be like that. It'll be like da 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 da, bang bang, sort of thing. And it's that good. We've been the last 5 years, you may recall. An episode last year where I said we were going on it. Well, we're going on it again. So we're looking forward to that. Yes, do send in your suggestions as well for the Halloween 3-episode special. So I will reiterate, we're going to do the normal episode on the Sunday of Halloween week, which is kind of like a teaser. And then Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, the 30th of October, we'll all have shows on. At least two of them are going to be recorded as live, so we'll be at a spooky location, and myself and Becca and possibly a couple of other people are going to be talking and experiencing spooky things. And I think on the first show, the Monday, is when I'm going to play all the collated tales that I've visited friends and family. And believe me, there's some whoppers in there, you know, there's some absolute whoppers. Like one, the one that I know we talked about it last week, but the one that Becca's mate was talking about when we were in the Lake District. It absolutely, still now to this point, I get a shiver when I think about the tale. And it depends how much of it she wants to share with me, really, and with you guys, because some of it's like really family personal stuff, but it's dark as sin. Honest to God, it's as dark as the devil's bumhole. So yeah, without any ability to sing to our Patreons this week, I think this is going to be a very short midpoint. But if you would like to have your name sung with the patrons who've already signed up, then do go along to support the show at www.patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. Next week, we'll also have the third monthly installment of the Patreon special podcasts, which are on there too. So yeah, I love the community that's over there, the lovely guys supporting the show and making me do things, allowing me to do things like buy equipment that lets me stand in a field and record this very episode. This wouldn't exist, this episode, what you're hearing right now, would not exist without the people over the Patreon. Just nearly choked. So if you'd like to be as kind as those guys and support the show you're listening to, just go over to www.patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. Okay, that's it for the midpoint. See you on the other side. Okay, guys, so the next story or email correspondence that I'm going to go over has actually came in from my ex-driving instructor. I mean, she's still a driving instructor, but I've thankfully passed my test now, and I'm having daily nightmares and panic attacks on the motorway because I just don't fucking like them, and I'm sure that's where I'm going to die. That said, this has come in from my driving instructor. She's called Tracy, and she's a lovely person, and she emailed me to say, what did she say initially? She said, oh my goodness, I was going to get in touch with you, then I saw you on my son's post, because I'm friends with a son. She said, something's happened to me on a recent holiday and I've been dying to tell you because I think you'll buzz off it. That's a Scouse terminology for really like it. I have dismissed the event, but I also still feel uneasy about it when I think about it and my hair stands on end. Are you interested in my tale? Obviously, I got back like a bloody catapult and was like, like a boomerang. That works better. And said, of course I am. Please send me your tale. So she did. She says, sorry I didn't get back to you last night. It was all a bit manic because She sent it a few days later. Not that you need to know that, but here's the tale. Basically, it's nothing exciting. I'll be the judge of that. But it just never happened to me before. It was a sense of something, and it wasn't a nice thing. Bear in mind, I've been in a house before and after it was exercised, and it didn't bother me that much. To be truthful, I think I might have mentioned during our lessons that after I saw my mum dead in the chair, I knew in my heart there was nothing after death. But I still loved all the stuff about spooky stories and stuff. So, about a week ago, we were all on holiday in Scotland, really remote, 9 miles to the nearest pub, 13 to the nearest country shop, etc. Blah, blah, blah. I mean remote. I just have to pause now. Somebody's walking to me in a field. Honest to God, you could be anywhere else. There's literally acres of space where you could be walking. And they're deciding to walk right past me. For the love of Jesus, wept. Honest to God. Don't they know I'm doing a paranormal podcast here? How very rude. Anyway, I continue. So, Tracy's in a remote place. No phone signal, no Wi-Fi, no communication other than a landline in the cottage. A landline? You could have a German party. It was actually quite refreshing. We had a lovely cottage facing a beautiful waterfall. We all went up the man-made paths and various viewing platforms along the side of the waterfall. The start of which was literally across the garden of our cottage. Then it wound its way upwards through some woods. The top could not be seen from ground level. Having said that, it was probably not more than 6 to 7 minutes walk from the bottom to the top, but was a little bit steep. Sorry, me got a bad throat. We all went up together, took loads of photos, mucked about, had a giggle, commented on its beauty and came back down and did another walk further on. Early evening, while the rest of the family were either napping, watching TV or reading, etc., I decided to take another walk up the waterfall on my own. It had been raining heavily since we'd gone up earlier and the whole mood of the falls had changed. Dun, 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 dun. They were so very loud. The colours in the water had changed too. They'd become browner from the bracken in the fells. I love this. This is just, Tracy tells a really good story, you know. She knows her business, she really does. So where are we? They become browner from the bracken and the fells. And the force of the water was tremendous. It was truly beautiful to watch. I was pottering along the waterfall, stopping to take photos, stopping just to take in the magnificence of it all. I eventually reached the top. I stood on the viewing platform and just admired it all. I wasn't up there long, and I started to feel my hair stand on end. I acknowledged quite quickly that it wasn't due to me being cold. On the contrary, the weather was mild despite the rain. I had an uneasy feeling of being watched. I suddenly felt like the air was oppressive. I had an overwhelming urge to scream out, but felt that I would be unheard. I felt so incredibly uncomfortable. I had an urge that I should leave and not look back under any circumstance, which is exactly what I did. I really, really can't emphasize enough just how much urgency I had going back down. The hairs on my body were stood so much on end like I'd never experienced ever before. And I didn't look back. Every speck of common sense told me I had the ability to do so, but every cell in my body was screaming at me not to. I got to the bottom and walked away feeling so uneasy. What was there? I've no idea. Why did I feel like that? I've no idea. What I do know is that I've never felt like that before, and I definitely never wish to feel like that again. Even thinking about and writing this to you, my hair is standing on end again. So something and nothing really, but it still makes me shiver. So she sent that and I was like, that is possibly the greatest ghost story with no ghost in it. I've felt like that. We've all felt uneasy at certain points, but the description she gives and now the picture she paints is amazing to me. But then she sent me another email. One other thing, she says, the top level of the waterfall was opposite a house. You couldn't see it, but it was there. From the road, you could just make out the garden of the house. It was the gatekeeper's lodge. In the garden, there are models or statues of people in various poses / positions. Again, garden and house can't be seen from the waterfall. Only a big carved gorilla in the gatekeeper's garden can be seen from the waterfall. And then she does like a shrug emoticon and say, who the hell has a big massive gorilla in the garden, man? On inquiring, we found out that there was a house, but that itself, the house, the models, carvings and statues are all a bit random, bearing in mind its location in the middle of nowhere and that members of the public don't know it's there and can't go to see whatever art they've got going on up there, which is very, very weird. Maybe the whole thing's in my imagination, but as I say, I didn't think I was bothered by anything, just fascinated by the supernatural stuff, etc. And my sensible head says it's all rubbish and can be reasoned away. But why, when I was in such a happy place, physically and mentally, would I want to conjure up such malevolence? That I can't fathom out. So thanks if you read this far. You can happily refer to me as a crank now. No. I then get back and say, that was amazing. Tell me where it is. Hopefully I can find some way to get up to Scotland and investigate this crazy artist of malevolence. She gets back. Oh my goodness, I've had goosebumps all night just going over what I wrote. She says, in a rush with a gazillion and one things to do as usual, and I wasn't even sure it made any sense, or even if I got across how bad those feelings were. The only thing about it all, I mean the beauty, peacefulness, nature, I mean everything, was that gatekeeper's lodge. It was an oddity. It just didn't fit in. Maybe that's why I paid it attention if I'm trying to reason it out. But so remote, so beautiful, and then that lodge with all the weird things. So my logical brain says, well, if they're the archetype, it's probably ideal. But surely you produce work to sell and be seen, and the majority of stuff there was not being seen. Apart from the gorilla hidden in the trees opposite the top of the waterfall. All sorts of theories are coming into my head here. Mainly based on horror stories and books I read, but not actual facts. It was up by the Isle of Bute, northwest of Scotland. I think, too, part of my anxiety over the whole thing was because I felt isolated and unable to get help if I needed it. No signal and all that. I'll send you a photo, which she did, and I will put up on the socials, which will probably spoil it because it won't look scary at all. But in truth, it wasn't about the look, it was how I felt. Then she says, yes, of course you can use the photos, etc. And she goes through it. It's brilliant. She then replied after sending the photos to say, in terms of the gatekeeper's lodge, this really can't be seen at all from the road, despite the following photos. These were taken in super zoom. And then she says, bit intrusive, probably illegal. You can make out there's something in the garden, and that's what made me want to zoom. I thought it was a person, but they hadn't moved. It was, as I say, very mild, but it was also very misty and wet, and I couldn't imagine just sitting out on it. On Zoom, I realised they were just models of statues of a person sat on a bench, which I thought was bizarre as it was in the middle of nowhere. A very large black bird statue to the left of the person and a very large white bird, possibly a heron statue, to the right. However, this is all completely hidden and to the left of the waterfall as you go up to it. So how spooky is that? I mean, that place sounds amazing, doesn't it just? You know, imagine if you just go up there. Imagine if you're in the middle of a forest. It's like Blair Witch, and there's a house. And there's a house around it. And I've seen, when I put the photos up, you'll see, the statue she's talking about of, like, someone sat on a bench. It is like, how can I describe it? You know the way we've all seen, we're all into spooky stuff. You'll have all seen that meme of, it looks like a person, but it's just ice, and they're looking into a window, and it's like, oh, when it gets cold outside, or some stupid meme comment. Well, you know that picture, and it's just like a completely white body shape. That's what the statue's like. It's terrifying. It's like a spindly little grey slender man sat on a bench. What living, sane person would want that in the front garden? I have no earthly idea. But I do want to go up and knock and say, hello, you may notice I have a lapel mic. I'd like to talk to you about your spooky as fuck statues, please. and if we may do the Ouija board in your outhouse / chicken coop. Very strange indeed. Okay, so we're going to have to call an end to this episode. Shorter than usual, but you know, you have had a few long ones recently. And don't forget, from October, all of the episodes will be getting longer, between 45 minutes and an hour. But before we go, I thought it would be fun, because it'll wind her up and she won't even know what's going on, if I ring Becca, put her on speaker, put an Emmy lapel mic, and have some mad, weird technology menage a trois, if you will. What, sex with three? No, that doesn't make any sense. But let's ring her, I'll put her on speaker as well, because she won't expect this. Let's see. No one expects the Spanish Inquisition. Let's see. I'll put it in my lapel mic. Here we go. Me in a field, ringing Becca. Madness.
Hello?
Hello, my love. Hello. It's Kevin here. I just thought I'd let you know I'm recording you on my lapel mic for the show because I'm trying to get some content outdoors.
Okay. Hello.
Hello. So you're now live. Well, you're not live. You're now
pre-recorded.
No, it's not live. But you're now pre-recorded on the We Need to Talk About Goats podcast, which you are fully aware of because you've been on it several times, and I'm your partner.
Yeah, and I live with you, so I'm kind of aware of it, yeah.
Excellent. How are you today?
I'm okay, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. It took me a while to find somewhere that I can talk for, like, 30 minutes about ghosts without looking like a lunatic.
And where have you settled on?
Well, I went... this is boring for everyone else, but I went to Tesco for my lunch. I then came back to a field by work, and I've had a few people... Well, it's like a little piece of grass, probably not a field. I've had a few wasps to contend with, and a few human beings as well.
Right, okay. So you're just walking around a field muttering to yourself about ghosts?
Yes, yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, super. Well, I'm glad you settled on a field. I think that sounds like the most sensible place.
Yeah, I thought the sensible thing was a field. However, I've had my umbrella up as well to shield it from the wind, so there is a chance that somebody's got very close to me and then backed away and phoned the police, and I wouldn't be aware.
Right. Well, I don't think you'd phone the police, but I can certainly see them backing away from you.
Yeah, definitely.
Unless you're committing a crime that you haven't mentioned.
Oh, no crime, other than... insanely terrifying ghost stories for the general consumption of the public.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Such a good podcast, it should be illegal.
Yeah, it should be. I've also got a lapel mic.
And how's that working out for you?
Well, I feel very, very important, to be honest.
I'm sure you look it.
I do. I feel. Yeah. I look like I'm doing a news report on blades of grass. I think I was just actually thinking, if anyone from work, which is obviously very nearby, has seen me, they will think either me and you are having a murder or I've completely lost the plot.
Why do you think we're having a murder, that you've just gone to a field and started mooring to yourself in anger?
Yeah. Oh, no, they'll assume I'm on the phone. Anyway, right. Sorry, none of this is scary. Tell my listeners a ghost story, because you're the last thing they're going to hear on this episode.
I don't have a ghost story for you.
Well, you should be prepared for this eventuality.
Any point in time and asking for a ghost story.
Yeah.
When I know ghost stories not to be true.
Boo. Well, listen, you know what I do. You know what I expect from you, Beck. I don't ask much. All
yeah,
do you expect?
Ghost stories from me. You want ghost stories. You've rang the wrong number. You know that. Well, you've got a plethora of audience there who's interested in ghost stories for you. Ring one of them. I don't know why you're ringing me.
I can't ring listeners. I'm bloody intrusive. I'm weird.
Well, you can't ring me for a ghost story either, because I've got none, as you know damn well.
Right. We're going to have words when I get home.
Oh, yeah.
Well, probably not. You beat me up.
We'll see how that goes, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. Do you want to say goodbye to the listeners now? Because this will be the end of the first Alfresco outdoor show.
Alfresco, very good. Hello, listeners. I hope the quality hasn't been too terrible whilst he's wandering around the field in the wind. And this can only get better as we get more and more into winter and the weather gets worse. So that's something for you to look forward to.
And on that bombshell, thank you for giving negative connotations to my wonderful natural exuberance. I don't think they're words that should have went together, really. Okay, but I am going to say goodbye to you now, because I also need to say goodbye to the people on who have downloaded it.
Right, yeah, this is dead entertaining. Yeah, people don't love this.
Hello, yeah. If this doesn't make people donate to Patreon, I don't know what will.
Why don't you tell me what you have for lunch as well?
A sandwich and some Jaffa cakes.
How many Jaffa cakes?
Two packs.
Two entire packs?
Yes. 24 Jaffa cakes in total.
Very good.
Anyway, people have now turned off, so I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
Okay. I'll speak to you later.
Well, have fun with the rest of it. I'll see you later.
Well, it's done now. Okay. I'll speak to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there we go, guys. Sorry, everyone. I for some stupid reason, did assume she'd have a ghost story. I don't think it did, actually. I was just trying to test out the tech. Texting out my tech, know what I mean? So, I would class this why can't I speak today? Honest to God. Anyway, I would class this as a success. Do let me know what you think of the sound quality. Is it doable? I mean, not all the time. I'm not just going to keep doing this. You know, we'll be back in the studio next week. But this is going to be the sound quality for the external ones, for the ghosty stories and ghosty places in the Halloween special. Specials, plural. Anyway, thank you for this, and thank you for downloading. I love you all. Do send your stories on to talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com, and I would lovingly read them out. If you want me to sing your name next week when I've got guitars and less chance of being arrested, then go over to patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. It's getting far too windy. So unless I am arrested in the meantime, I shall catch you all next week. Tatty bye, everyone. Tatty bye.